This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Crap! I almost forgot! Wait! Jaw! I was saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big Jeep! The best!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, as we are every single day.
Who's got it better than us?
A lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Some fun with audio for you, including a fan base walking out of a stadium after a game. We'll play the fun game of did they win or did they lose based on the reaction.
Ooh, that's a fun game to play with no context playing the audio.
Unfortunately, you'll know who it is eventually, but it's just funny to think along the way of like, wait a minute, did they? Okay, I thought they did.
I made a massive mistake there at the end of that paid interview.
What do you mean?
He didn't talk about any of the other points I made. I shouldn't have brought up Miami.
Yeah.
Because Miami is absolutely the best of both of those opinions.
Yeah, look, I haven't backed down on the take that I still am pro-expansion. I will acknowledge, and you disagreed with it on Monday, but
yeah.
there was a little bit that just didn't have... Like, we were coming from a year where I watched my team in heartbreaking fashion lose to Washington for a second time. Like, that was, you were living and dying with every play. And Georgia-Bama was a game where you're like, oh my God, Georgia hadn't lost a game in, what was it, 3 years? It just, not that they weren't great games and they weren't awesome. And there's not different ways that we can rework this and make them more important. But it lost just a hair of the luster for me.
But
it doesn't mean I'm not going to freak out or come in and say, well, it's great that we lost, or I'm not going to have hot takes on Monday for a loss. It just wasn't quite the same.
No, but I mean, I've made this argument since they had the four-team playoff that all of the non-playoff stuff is pointless. And there is more unhappiness in that sport than there almost ever has been.
Yeah, completely agree with that.
Bama can lose a game to Vandy. Okay, big upset. You don't lose to Vandy. That's not allowed in Alabama. All right. Well, then you lose to Tennessee. Okay, all right, guys, that's enough. We've lost twice. And then you lose to Oklahoma. And now it's suddenly no fun games. And so it's like two losses is kind of okay. But for even Miami's of the world, it's not.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is kind of my overall point. You're not wrong to say it had an exhibition feel, or you watch a game and you say, well, Georgia Tech's are both in. Penn State, Oregon, they're both in. You're not wrong there. You don't want to be the team that loses to James Franklin.
Oh, of course not.
You do not want to lose to Washington. There are a lot of elements of this sport that will not change. And when you win it, you can say, I didn't feel it as much. But when you lose it, then you start to feel it. And I don't think that stuff has disappeared. You're just given a little more grace.
Yeah, there's more leash.
In the regular season now, and you don't suddenly have your world crumble by losing the one game. But I would argue again, when we got to four, all of that disappeared.
Yeah.
You lose one, your season might be done. You lose two, you're cooked. You lose to your rival, you're still pissed. And if you didn't make the four team or you didn't make the 12, nobody cares about your bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main argument against what I was feeling, and it was the main point that I was trying to make this weekend, was just from the two games, not from the entirety of the weekend.
Yeah, because we knew that Boise State, UNLV,
right.
We knew SMU, Clemson.
And that's the argument is like, dude, there were, I think, 1 million people watched the Mountain West Championship game last year. I don't even know who played in it, to be honest with you. Tells you all you need to know, right? I'm assuming.
It was a rematch. I believe it was UNLV
Boise?
And Boise State.
I'm assuming Boise won last year?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I couldn't even tell you that, right? 3 million people watched that game on a Friday night.
Yeah,
and that game, I was glued to it because playoffs. I knew the winner right. was in. Now the Big 12 title game sucked, but I was glued to it to see the outcome, and then it became evident the third quarter. And the same for the ACC game. You're like, oh my god, if Clemson wins this, they're in. Like, those games mattered much more, and that's where I wanted to get to. So Pate brought this up on the show last night. He talked about it a little bit in the interview there. Where what he's hearing and where he thinks this is heading, which it will, this is, we only got a 2-year agreement on this playoff. Just a reminder for you on that. This year and next year. That's it. That's all we got an agreement for.
We know where this is.
This
going.
Is going to change in 2026.
Yeah.
And his intel, as he kind of highlighted on the show, is that you're going to go to 16 teams. So you're going to expand again. Keep going, baby. You're going to get guaranteed bids per league, not just conference championships.
The Big Ten might get three or four. The SEC's going to get
four.
Yeah.
ACC and Big 12 probably one or two.
Yep.
And that conference championship weekend will be reimagined. And so it essentially will become a play-in weekend for the tournament. Like, so for example,
more of a money grab.
That's exactly what it is.
That's
like
what that is.
The reason they're not getting rid of this, you see the number? I haven't seen them for the Oregon-Penn State game. Do you see what the numbers were for the SEC title game?
Probably the biggest of the weekend.
It's
to be honest
17 million average viewers for that game. So, like, people who say, well, you got to get rid of conference championship, you're not getting rid of those games. Like, the TV executives are not getting rid of that property, right? Like, that's incredibly valuable for them.
10.5 million.
So, we'll
use up 5% from Michigan, Iowa last year.
For Oregon, Penn State?
Oregon, Penn State, okay. Yeah.
So, this is how it would have looked. We'll just use, let's use the ACC as an example, okay? This is elite. You would probably get four for the SEC, four for the Big Ten, two for the ACC, two for the Big 12. Your group of five.
Yep.
That gets you up to what, 11? So then you got, is that math right?
But see, you're
four, eight,
because you're talking about guaranteed spots.
For guaranteed spots. So or that'd be 13, maybe? I don't know. I'm bad at math.
Well, if you're doing four and four, that's
11.
Plus four more.
Oh, that's 12, 13.
Be 12.
It's 13.
The group of five 13. Would be 13.
Would be and then you have three at-large bids.
And that's going to go to
Notre Dame.
Ole Miss.
Notre Dame.
Oh, the Notre Dame, Ole Miss.
Well, and Ole Miss would have been in this scenario because the SEC would have four out of large bids.
So Alabama, Ole Miss, whoever the outlier of that grouping is going to get it. And then maybe your third ACC team.
Sure, which ultimately, I don't know if there's four Big 12 teams that will ever deserve to get in or three ACC teams. But the way that we would rework the conference championship week to this point was, I'll use the ACC as an example. You get two at-large bids. SMU's undefeated in the regular season. They're your conference champion. They're an automatic, there's your conference champ. They're a number one seed. Instead of a conference championship game, you would have the play-in game between the number two, three, and the number three team. The winner of the game goes to the college football playoff. And so in this year, it would have been number two team Clemson, number three team Miami, winner gets an auto bid to the playoff. Do we like that?
Oh, we would absolutely already hate it because now you're going to be the team SMU. Let's use them as this example here. They didn't play Clemson or Miami, and they got crowned the regular season champion.
They were undefeated in conference play.
Oh, wait for the bitching and moaning about Miami having to play Clemson and Clemson having to play Miami while SMU gets basically a week off.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we're going to complain about the next iteration of this if that's the way this is going to go. Because what would the Big 12 have done?
The Big 12, Arizona State would have technically been the... Because of tiebreakers,
and
they would have been
State, Colorado.
It would have
been
BYU versus Iowa State for the play-in spot.
Awesome! I can't wait for that complaining. The Big Ten. I mean, what you're doing is you're just creating another version of complaining.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think we're gonna like it.
No. Okay.
This still goes back to the underlying problem of they need to reconfigure how the regular season schedules are put together, and there needs to be some consistency conference to conference. The SEC needs to quit scheduling Sun Belt teams the week before.
They will never give that up. You need to stop saying the SEC needs to stop. The SEC will get what the SEC wants. So everybody else needs to figure
out. I am curious, and maybe next time we get Josh on, if we come revisit this, who needs to be convinced in the room to go along with all of this? What level of consensus needs to happen for whatever new format comes about so there is no bitching? is it simply a matter of the Big Ten and the SEC need to come up with how they want it done and that's it? Or is there, how many other conferences or other key figures do they need to convince to go along with their plan to get it done?
I don't know.
I don't mind that setup that Josh proposed with the one caveat on, and you see this So if you look at the example of what the UEFA Champions League is over there, so all of the soccer-playing nations in Europe, big tournament, supposedly everybody has a crack to get in it, no matter if you play in Liechtenstein or whatever. However, the leagues, the top leagues, La Liga, the Premier League, the Bundesliga, they get a guaranteed number of spots, but it's based on how your league does internationally. There is a FIFA ranking of it, and it can fluctuate based on the performance of your club teams over the course of a year.
Are you proposing soccer implemented into football? Because you're going to piss him off.
Just how they set it up. So
you would basically get more spots based on how you did against other conferences?
Yes. The league, La Liga and the Premier League and...
Unless Alabama schedules Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard
thing.
And
then how are you doing that? They'd be scheduling the Patsies.
Yeah. Like, is it just Power 4 wins? Would it be like... It's a hard thing to comprehend.
There you go in and it's like, okay, how do you do this? How do you go conference to conference to have some metric that evaluates the strength of the conference overall? So, because the SEC is so top-heavy, but... If the underbelly is so damn soft, as we've mentioned over the years, their bad teams are really bad comparable to other conferences. That has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right to a certain extent, Sprague, that we'll find a way to complain. Like, no matter what the format is, there will be a complaint.
If Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State are tied, or Michigan, or whoever, because they didn't play each other in these 20-team conferences that are so stupid, and... some tiebreaker says Michigan wins, Ohio State, Oregon. Good luck to you. You're playing for seeding now.
I think that's the next thing. So basically, the playoff format will be whatever the Big Ten and the SEC want it to be because they control the sport and that's what we're going to get.
Right.
I think the next big thing that you got to figure out is how do you best mitigate the absurdity of massive conferences? And I think the easiest way to do that, and I don't know if you'll ever get agreements from them, but Saban was even bringing this up on Sunday. He's like, we should just play 10 SEC, like to stop playing non-conference games. You have your auto bids, you play your schedule. It's basically 10 SEC games, 10 Big Ten games, 10 Big 12 games. You got these massive conferences, and if you added more conference games, it would limit the number of times you would have these outliers where nobody at the top of the conference would ultimately play each other. I do think it's an interesting look at how the sport could evolve into the future and how every game on the final weekend going into the playoff would have more significance and not a, hey, this is just for seeding. This is for if you win, you're the 2 seed. If you lose, you're the 5 seed. But I know you're in either way. And I think it also could bring some more importance back to the regular season and saying, I know if I finish 1, 2, or 3, whatever, in my conference standings, then I'm guaranteed a spot into the college football playoff. Like, it's a very difficult needle to try and thread where I am still pro-expansion. I look at what's happened at Arizona State this year. I look at what had happened at SMU getting into the college football playoff, Boise State getting into the college football playoff. Iowa State had a game to play to get into the playoff. Like, there's a lot of really cool stories, and this is ultimately now what matters in the sport.
Yeah.
And so I want to, that pathway needs to be there, and it's great that more fan bases are involved and all that is great, but there's a reworking that needs to take place. And I heard the idea yesterday. There will be always people that will complain, and our team got screwed. I mean, Alabama got their ass kicked in by Oklahoma, and they still complain about not making the playoff.
Yeah.
Instead of wanting to fire their coach like they used to. What happened to you, Alabama? I'm ashamed of you. But I don't care about the complaining. I heard it, and I was like, you know what? That's a format that I'm okay with. Get rid of the top 4 seeds having to go to conference champs because that's the first error that they made. And then you have your auto bids that are going to be tied to conferences, a play-in weekend that leads into it. I think it's a cool format that I'd be on board with.
I also think an element of an argument against the expansion of 12, let's just stay at 12 because that's where we're currently at. This thing, and you kind of said it very quickly, it's been said a couple times. I have no evidence that the accuracy of the regular season not mattering as much is true. What evidence do you guys have? The viewerships are up. Attendance is up. There's no actual evidence that this expansion to 12 has made it less important. There's no evidence of that.
No.
So why do we keep saying it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, anti-expansionist argument is that it takes away from the regular season. But based on what? What metric would you use for that?
Yeah, to me, it didn't take away from the regular season at all. I thought the regular season was awesome and entertaining.
Exactly.
And it was great week in and week out.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't think it took away from it at all.
Right, but it keeps getting echoed that the regular season is less important with the expansion. There's no evidence of that.
So Pate floats what maybe a new playoff format could look like. We know it's going to change in a calendar year, and we'll have some more thoughts on all of the playoff games coming up on the show tomorrow. I'm going to get to some fun with audio. Can you guess how this fan base, can you guess the result of this fan base's game? We'll talk about that coming up next. Also, a legendary broadcaster calling a play for a player that he would have loved to have watched. We'll get to those coming up next on The Fam. All right, I got some random odds and ends for you coming up bottom of the hour.
Ooh, I love some odds and ends.
Good odds and ends. You're going to figure out who this is pretty quickly.
Okay.
But I still love playing the game of just remember, once you figure out who it is,
yeah,
how the outcome of their, who, whether or not they won their game this weekend.
They're going to tell me, though, who they're rooting for?
You're going to figure it out pretty quickly. This is a fan base leaving their stadium on Sunday following the conclusion of an NFL game.
Carolina Panthers suck!
Why we're struggling with Carolina. They suck. They went 2-15 last year.
We should have killed them.
It was a, it's an okay. And then it was like, ooh, we won.
Woo! Jalen Hurts is not the answer.
Is that who we're putting on right now?
We have a number one defense, running back. Jalen Hurts is not the answer.
Big time win. Hurts balling out. Psych, he didn't do anything.
I think we should get a new quarterback. Maybe draft like Jackson Dart or like Jalen Milrow.
Why is Brown not getting enough touches?
You gotta include A.J. Brown, man.
I would not let Nick Sirianni come to the game within the first half because then he couldn't call the first set of plays. He can let Kellen Moore just run Saquon Barkley the entire time, and we would win the game within the first half.
We gotta run the ball. I don't know what we're doing. Why second and one? Run the freaking football.
What would you do differently if you coached?
I would give Saquon the ball every time, and I would pass to A.J. Brown when he opened.
It's that easy, Nick Sirianni.
The Eagles should have won by more. I'm disappointed.
12.5-point favorites? You gotta smack these dudes.
They're just jerking around.
Jerking around.
Jerking around.
Stop jerking around.
And beat the teams you need to beat.
Still Super Bowl hopes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're all delusional.
We go to the bowl!
Give me victory swing.
Go Birds, baby.
Never in doubt.
Miss, it's hard to win in this league. True or false?
So true.
It's hard to win in this league. True or false?
True.
But a win is a win, isn't it?
Win's always a win.
It's the last night of the Eras tour, so I'm looking forward to getting home and live streaming that. But the Birds are great. Go Birds. Taylor's an Eagles fan. Go Birds.
They're 11-2.
They're 11-2.
They are 11-2. They have lost two times.
I think we should draft Jackson Dart, though. Let's go get Jackson Dart.
Hey, our quarterback's a little inaccurate, not great. You know who I want? Jalen Milrow. Jalen Milrow instead of Jalen Hurts.
That's going to fix your problems right there. That's how you solve your issues.
What was that sound in the at
it
the
was
end?
A guy chugging a
he was
beer.
Chugging a beer.
He was like, give me a chug.
And victory
he
had a swig.
Victory, yeah, victory
jeez,
swig.
That was a loud chug.
Chugged a big thing of Miller Lite.
I would argue.
Go Birds.
There's a lot of interesting fan bases in that league. Cowboy fans even existing anymore it's just quite a thing to me.
Yeah.
I think they're the most confusing fan base to figure out.
Yeah.
What do they want? They're 11-2.
Because they are among the most very invested fan bases.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Wouldn't argue it.
But they're never happy.
Never. Even when they won a Super Bowl, they wanted their head coach fired 2 years later.
Well,
Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl.
They want their quarterback gone.
Yeah.
They hate their coach.
Yeah, they hate Nick Sirianni.
They won, and they know how hard it is to win in that league, but they didn't win by enough.
Wasn't he going back and forth with his own fans a couple of weeks ago after a game?
Yeah.
Didn't that happen? Was he yelling at his own fans because they were yelling at him about not doing something at the end
of the
game?
I'm asking sincerely, how many fan bases would you say right now feel that way about their team who is good?
Oh.
Do the Rams fans that exist feel that way?
They don't.
No.
No.
They don't
Seahawks
exist.
Fans? No.
No.
The
Bucks
only
fans,
ones.
We're soft in the Northwest.
No. Lions fans? No. Although a teenager made Campbell move. Vikings fans?
Bills fans might be.
You think they're leaving after a win?
After a win and doing that? I don't think they are.
I don't
Not
think
after
they are
a win.
Not after a win. If they would have lost to Carolina, totally understandable.
Steelers
they
fans.
The they won the game.
Ravens
they
fans.
They just beat the Ravens in Baltimore 2 weeks ago. They might beat the Steelers this weekend. Yeah. Like it's pretty funny to me.
Wild.
They're one of a kind, man. They're one of a kind. There's no doubt about that. I also saw this yesterday. Let me make sure. This came from Arizona Sports Radio, I believe.
Okay.
Let me make sure. I want to credit the show.
By the way, their other loss of their two, they lost by one. The Falcons.
Yeah.
That was that Monday night clash.
The Kirk Cousins comeback game.
They
in week
lost
two.
By one.
Yeah, they could easily be a one-loss team right now. This was from Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports. So the voice of Arizona State was on their show.
Tim Healy.
And he was talking about Scataboo and how he wishes that, you know what would be a really cool thing for me? John Madden calling a Scataboo highlight. Just he would have loved Scataboo, the way he ran, Madden doing all that.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, this is kind of a funny point. So Wolf and Luke at Arizona Sports Radio down there, they called Frank Caliendo, and they got Frank Caliendo on the show.
To call a clip.
To do a Scataboo highlight. So here is Caliendo as Madden calling Cam Scataboo.
This is Tim Healy yesterday. We're talking about Cameron Scataboo. And Tim, this is what you said.
Cam Scataboo is a guy that I would love to have heard John Madden call one of his runs, you know, and or have like Frank Caliendo, who does the perfect John Madden impersonation, you know, have him do a Madden impersonation.
Well, here's Frank Caliendo as John Madden.
Trying to tackle Cam Scataboo is tougher than it looks. I mean, there he goes. You got to hit a guy right there, and he's going to spin off a guy right there. That guy's tackling him, and that guy's tackling him, and that guy's tackling him, but none of those guys are actually tackling him. He somehow keeps going. You ever turn your phone to the side, Pat, and the screen stays the same up and down? What's that called? Auto-rotate? Cam Scataboo has auto-rotate. I don't know if that's a gyroscope or an accelerometer, a combination of those things, but that's just Cam Scataboo. And there he goes again. Boom. Whack. Scataboo. I mean, even his name sounds like he's still going. Scataboo. 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 It's not Scataboo either. People think, you know, that's like Brett Favre. It looked like Favre, but it's actually Favre. I mean, there's Scataboo. Hits a guy right there. On a rotate there. Scataboom. Scatwap. Scataboo. I mean, that's just Cam Scataboo being Cam Scataboo.
God, that was great.
Wasn't that good?
I miss Madden so
much. I do, too. He would have loved calling Cam Scataboo highlights, man. Good stuff from Arizona Sports Radio.
That weirdly just made me really sad.
It did, didn't it? This time of year especially.
I love John Madden.
No turducken on Thanksgiving. You know, missing him calling those games. And
yeah,
Pat Summerall.
Brady eating a turkey leg and probably spitting it out on the side because he's a weird vegan. Yep.
Definitely is. Definitely is.
I just, you know, that wasn't like dead on of normal Madden impersonation, but the way he said it and what he said is exactly how far.
There's a guy's tackling the guy's tackling the guy. The guy can't tackle the guy.
Well, that's what's funny is think about Madden now in this day and age of cell phones. He absolutely like, hey, you know, Pat, what do you turn the phone and
yeah, you know how you do that? You turn it to the side there, Pat. That's how you do it. Oh, it's so good. Some odds and ends and portal updates. We'll get to those coming up next.
I love the reindeer.
A little offensive to talk over this, to be honest with you.
Shut up. It's coming, the bridge.
They never let Rudolph join in any reindeer game.
Give it to me.
One foggy Christmas Eve.
Here it comes.
Oh, Santa came to say, can you take me higher?
You're welcome, Santa.
To a place where snow.
God, I love Creed. Who doesn't love Creed? Oh, that gets you going today. Let's go. Woo! I'm ready to go get a lift in. God, so good, man.
You're not fired up to go Christmas shopping.
Who's not
now?
Right now?
Something's
fired
wrong
up
with you.
Go Christmas shopping. Go get your shopping done. Oh, fired up. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Technology is Wednesday. Awful in so many ways, and
that's just
so
brilliant.
Good in so many others.
Absolutely brilliant.
Who came up with that? Who did that?
I don't know.
People are doing these like mashup songs. I don't know how they do it and how it's like how you change the lyrics with the voice. I don't know how it's done.
People can get the voice, and AI fills in the voice with the words.
That makes sense. That's how they're doing it. I don't know who's making them, but they're glorious when they do.
I'm just glad that they actually said, can you take me higher?
Yeah, it's Rudolph. He's got to get you above the cloud. You got to see through the clouds, man.
That was phenomenal.
Gotta save my Christmas here.
That was phenomenal.
You guys want a couple of these?
Diddly, diddly, diddly,
Yes. Portal updates.
Portal updates.
There's a lot of intel that Mateer actually might be on his way, but I don't think he's officially in yet.
Everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting for Mateer, but the official announcement and paperwork has not been filed yet.
The internet is speculating that he's visiting Oklahoma on the low.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird thing to do, because I think you can enter your name into the portal and then take your name out of the portal if you want, but that's kind of a weird one to like take visits but not be in the portal.
I think you have to be in the portal to take a visit.
That's why they're saying it's on the low.
It's on the low. It's on the DL.
Who is going to be the first person to expose the school and representative of the school that's doing the DMs? Because all we hear about is, oh, I got like this Boise State guy says like 12 of his players have been contacted.
Yeah.
Who is going to expose this?
They should. I don't know why they don't.
Because they all do it.
Yeah, well, there's something to that, yeah. A lot of them do it ahead of time because it is tampering, which you're not allowed to do, which tampering doesn't happen in any sport, right? I mean, nobody talks to free agents in the NBA before free agency begins. Like, none of that happens.
Well, you brought up BYU yesterday with the Jazz. You know the current kid there that's going to get picked in the top six, the Igor kid?
Uh-huh.
He's at BYU. You know why? Because of the Danny Ainge thing.
Tampering. Utah's found their new quarterback. Devin Dampier, who if you watched Washington State late in the season get run over by New Mexico on the road.
Yes.
It was mainly because of one player, and it was Devin Dampier. And this was in the writing for a while. Utah hired the New Mexico offensive coordinator. And everybody said, oh, that's an interesting move. And then all of a sudden, the quarterback from New Mexico entered the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, look at that. Devin Dampier going to Utah. I didn't see a ton of New Mexico football this year. I did watch almost all of that game. This kid's a stud. He's one of the few guys in the country like with 4,000 total yards, a lot of it rushing. He's a dynamic athlete. This is a program that has struggled to quarterback for a long time. So a random name, but one that's like, hey, next year, just file that away in the back of your mind. Devin Dampier, good athlete. Utah needs an answer there. That's one of the bigger ones that just came off the board.
That's why I think a lot of people connect Mateer to Oklahoma.
Yes, because his offensive coordinator just went to Oklahoma.
Tend to connect those dots, yes.
Yes, that exists. Malik Murphy's one of the bigger quarterbacks in the portal right now. Sounds like Auburn and Miami are the front runners from him.
Miami would be a big pickup for them. He was a problem in the ACC this year. Duke not on a lot of people's radars.
Yep.
I mentioned it earlier. There's no difference between Duke being 9-3 and Illinois being 9-3.
No.
The conference tends to give you a lean. Miami being able to replace Cam Ward with, if this is what Murphy was and can continue to get better.
Yeah, he's not quite the level of a Cam Ward for me, but he's a very good quarterback.
Well, I don't know if we would have said this version of Cam Ward.
I guess that's fair.
2 years ago is who he was going to be, right? It might have been, he's a good little player.
Yeah.
Let him grow a little bit if he stays at Miami and they keep paying. That's how Mario keeps this thing humming, and eventually maybe they break through and get to a playoff. That would be a big pickup for them.
USC lost Deuce Robinson yesterday to the transfer portal. He was one of the highest-rated recruits in the 2023 class. He's always been an interesting guy for me where you clearly see the physical attributes. He looks interesting because he's so tall and skinny, but he's a tight end.
Yeah.
But you know, like he's also a baseball player. I think he had the chance to go play professional baseball, which maybe he eventually ends up doing. Oregon was one of his finalists. Oregon has a desperate need for tight end. They missed on a lot of their high school tight end commits. I mean, you got Sadiq and Sally Apaga, but they're losing Ferguson and Herbert, so they're going to need some depth there. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to make a play for Deuce Robinson.
Yeah.
Washington, it sounds like, is going to host a defensive line transfer, Jare Bledsoe. He's a kid from Texas. I don't know a lot about him. He was a former top 175 overall recruit.
I mean, if we're just being honest here, college is different in the NFL in this sense. We don't know most of these kids' names.
No, a lot of these kids, you're like, oh, okay.
But maybe you see them play and you see a highlight and you go, oh, okay, I've seen that kid play. That kid's good. That's what a lot of these dudes are. There's a kid from UCF visiting Oregon State.
There is.
An offensive lineman.
There was another corner that they offered. I want to go find that one. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but they offered a corner who was a highly touted kid coming from a smaller school.
Yeah.
So they're being aggressive as well, trying to shop guys. They haven't lost a lot of guys in the portal so far yet, which is a good sign.
Commitments from a lot.
Yeah, like that stuff can change. It did with Damian Martinez last year. And remember, this isn't the only window. You're going to have another window in the spring. So guys who aren't in now can technically go in then if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most guys want to get it done now so they're ready to go for being there over winter and workouts and all that kind of stuff. Where's the breakdown of trust in the staff and concern over a player? Because it sounds like Oregon is likely going to land Bear Alexander, which is one that I have a hard time with. For those who don't remember Bear Alexander, he was originally at Georgia. transferred, and when he was in the portal, Oregon tried to get him initially.
He went to USC.
Went to USC, didn't do anything hardly at all in his about year and a half. Left the team, I think, halfway through the year, if I'm not mistaken, at USC this past year. And now he's back in the portal. It sounds like he's going to end up in Eugene. It's like, you totally trust the staff for what they've been able to do.
Yeah.
He's also a guy that I'm just like, I don't know.
I wouldn't put a lot of eggs in the basket. Yeah. It's one of those like, hey, if he plays, cool, he can make a play. And if he doesn't, you're not going to sit there and be like, you know, big takeaway from Saturday, Bear Alexander's not playing. Like, I don't think you put a lot of eggs in the basket.
It's a depth piece that you got piled up there.
100%. Yeah. Unless he proves that his attitude's been turned around. Because I don't want to blame USC. Some of this stuff is kids just being immature and entitled, and we'll see. Maybe if he goes to Eugene, it turns around for him. But if he goes to Eugene, I also, it's not something I'd put a lot of stock in.
Yeah.
Just be like, okay, Lanning and company think he can be a valuable depth piece for them. And if he can't, whatever.
Well, there's your portal updates, man. It's never ending. And it will not go away.
I never really recovered from the Creed Rudolph mashup, to be honest with you.
I mean, that was glorious. That's maybe the best thing that's ever been on our airwaves, to be honest. I mean, that's just, you're not going to beat that. It's Creed.
Also,
Rudolph.
You're right. Like, why do we have to publicly make fun of songs that everybody likes?
Who doesn't like Creed? We all love Creed. We love them.
I mean, we don't love Creed, but like that song.
No, we love Creed. It's okay to admit.
You're kind of jamming out to that in your car.
It's okay to admit it. It's all right.
Hey, Swag remembers the days when he was jamming out to Nickelback.
The CD on your drive home. Yes. We all do. Yeah. We turn it down when you show the stoplights. Nobody else can
look
hear it.
Photograph.
And then you turn it back up. Yeah.
Are you talking about like white guy when he sees him in Office Space, he locks his doors because he's actually a fake gangster?
You turn it down. I don't want anybody to think I'm listening to Creed, and then I turn it back up.
Well, what was the concert announcement the other day?
It like a throwback?
Is Creed coming to town?
No, it's Christopher Cross.
Oh my God.
Toto.
Yes.
And I forget who the third one was with them coming to the amphitheater late summer.
I'm That's still mad I never went to the T-Pain Billy Idol concert.
That's a hell of a combo.
I'm still upset I didn't do that.
Is Creed still touring? Are they still a thing?
Yeah, after which base? Who was the team that brought him back?
I don't know. Did they get brought back? Did they do a show?
I thought people were clamoring for them to be back.
I think
back
we always asked for them to come back on Thanksgiving for their famous Cowboy show years ago, but
But no, there was a professional team like in the that song became like the clubhouse
anthem
or the locker room song. And I can't remember. I thought it was a football team, but I might.
They have a show in Vegas at the end of the month.
Dude, let's go.
And they're touring. I mean, they're going to Syracuse, Camden.
How are they not coming to Portland, Oregon?
Scranton.
If you're going to Scranton,
they
they're
are.
Not on the
Here
list.
It is.
Hold
no,
on.
I got. They're coming August 13th to the amphitheater in Ridgefield.
We're going to see Creed.
Oh, my God.
We need to do a show field trip and go see Creed.
Dude,
I think
going
we need to
Creed
do that
for like two songs.
I think that's okay. It gives you enough time to go to the bathroom
the
and get a beer.
Summer of 99 tour. They're there
summer
with
of
Three
99.
Doors Down,
yes!
Daughtry, Big Wreck, and Mammoth.
I don't know any of the other ones, but Three Doors Down was good.
I think we need to get the set list and time the gummy.
Yes, to perfect.
For hire.
Toto, Men at Work, and Christopher Cross.
That's hilarious.
Somebody said it was the Rangers that did it, that brought Creed around.
Yeah, the Texas Rangers in their World Series run.
All right, I didn't get to my tidbit. I'll get to my tidbit in the final segment. We'll wrap it up on a Wednesday next on The Fan. I'm going to throw a random factoid at you, see if you find it interesting or not. Now, I did not get a chance to watch their game on Sunday, but I saw my Ducks lost on a last-second three-pointer by UCLA. Banked in a three and lost. Is UCLA any good this year?
No.
Just kind of.
I think it's a rebuild year for Cronin.
I saw this stat and I was like, "Oh, that's kind of interesting," and it obviously involves my team, so that piqued my interest.
Yeah.
Did you know that every national champion since 2004 in college basketball, so okay, for the last 20 years,
okay,
has been ranked inside the top 12 in the Week 6 AP poll?
Okay, I mean, like,
so, no, the reason why it's interesting is because this is the sixth week.
Yeah.
So history tells us over the last 20 years,
there you go.
One of these 12 teams
is gonna win it.
Will win a national championship. It's
Head
been 20
window.
Years since somebody in this window, outside of this window, didn't win. So your top 12 on Monday, Tennessee, Auburn, Iowa State, Duke, Kentucky, Marquette, Alabama, Gonzaga, Florida, Kansas, Purdue, and the Oregon Ducks.
By the way, UCLA, 8-1.
Okay.
The best team in the Big Ten.
Are they?
In our face.
Now, who they played, though?
I mean, they just beat your team.
I mean, outside of us. Outside of us.
Well, they play. They're really good defensively, as you would expect from a Mick Cronin team.
From a Cronin team.
But
what was that commentary a minute ago? You agreed with me that they weren't very good.
Where are you helping me out on that one? You know, I don't know
think
what the hell
offensively
I'm talking
they're
about.
Very good.
I just,
but
no, interesting tidbit or not an interesting tidbit?
Not an interesting tidbit at all.
Okay,
a top-ranked team in college basketball wins the title.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're just upset your team's not in the top 12.
They won't be after today. Well, the new poll comes out today.
The new college basketball poll comes out today?
Did it come
this
out
one already came after? Out.
Oh, okay.
This was the one that came out after they lost to UCLA.
Oh, so they're still 12.
They were 12th after the loss. They didn't move in the rankings.
All right.
Well, that
they
loss
should have been
to Kansas
higher.
City screwed you up in this segment, didn't
it? Did.
The ruse got in your head.
You got 69 by
69
kangaroos.
69 by kangaroos.
The ruse got you, man.
I have not yet recovered. I need some more.
You never can.
Creed Rudolph for Red-Nosed Reindeer to bring me back.
Who had the worst Tuesday? Swag got 69 by kangaroos. I washed 20 baby bottles and Sprague watched the NBA Cup. Sprague ran away with it. 52%, you had the worst Tuesday.
Well, is he going to have the worst Wednesday? Because there's more cup tonight.
Oh, I'm cup checking.
Cup checking?
If you're ever going to try an edible in your life, it has to be at that Creed concert. It has to be.
We're going. Listeners tweeting us, it's happening.
We're
They're
going.
Coming in August.
I,
We're going
I need
to that
to be
show.
Taken higher.
That's the level of concert that we can get actually get tickets to as well.
Yes.
Maybe some backstage passes. What if we go hang out with
Creed?
I
don't think I want to meet
that guy. I want to hang out with that guy. Where's that one bald guy that was hanging around on the white thing, streaming around
Scott,
at the Cowboy Stadium?
Scott Stapp?
Scott Stapp is the lead singer.
Let's hang out with these dudes. I want to go meet Creed. There you go. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. At Turton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. Josh Pate was on the show today. Good stuff from him on the landscape of college football and the playoff. Go check it as soon as we are done. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next. Listening to 1080 The Fan.